Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Welcome to episode number 398 of the Essential Tennis Podcast. So, here's the deal. There's a 90% chance that your ready position sucks. And I'm saying that based on tens of thousands of hours that I've spent with regular, everyday tennis players like myself, by the way. I put myself in that category. I'm a solid 4-5 level player, which is, I think, in the top 5 or top 10% or so of amateur tennis players. And guess what? 4-0, 4-5 tennis players, if you're listening and you're that level, frequently have the same problem that we're going to be addressing today. I just got back from Indian Wells, and while I was there, I did three double strategy clinics that were 2 days each. And in those 6 days, back to back to back, we worked on ready position a lot. And by the way, you can basically interchange that with the idea of the split step and what position you're coming down in your split step. But we're not really talking about the split step today, but this is obviously part of it. The position you come down into after executing your split step is essentially the ready position. But guess what? Most tennis players don't use the split step. And I feel like most tennis players are kind of tired of hearing about it from coaches. So today we're talking about the ready position. And so we're going to talk about the four key checkpoints right now that you need to hit. And by the way, if you want to see visuals with this, then you can check out the Essential Tennis YouTube channel and check out the video with the same title, Your Ready Position Sucks. And you'll see all kinds of pro examples of ready positions and amateur examples, which we're going to be talking about. But I'll describe it. Like, you definitely don't have to watch the video. I'm just letting you know if you'd like to see the visuals that go along with it. So here's the four checkboxes that if you want to move as smoothly and as athletically as possible and cover as much court as possible, be the best tennis player possible, these are the four things that you need to accomplish. Number one is bend in the knees. And there should be a pretty significant bend in the knees. When you look at professional players, they get down pretty close to 90-degree bend in the knees. And I think for most of us normal players, that's probably a little bit excessive. You want to get enough knee bend that you feel like you have some spring to be able to push off of in whatever direction the ball ends up going, but not so low that it feels like it takes a long time to get out of that deep bend. Wherever deep is for you, it's going to be all relative. Different levels of athlete are going to be able to accomplish different depths and more easily get out of it, so kind of feel it out for yourself. So knee bend is a critical element. Width of stance is a critical element. And this is going to be kind of the big one that we really hone in on in a second in this episode. In my experience, most players are about shoulder width apart, or if they're trying and they're making an effort to be athletic. And I mean consciously trying. Like, if they're consciously trying to get wide because I've asked them to, or they've made an effort in the past to train a good athletic ready position, then on average, kind of the best case scenario that I see from everyday players is about 1.5 shoulder width apart. When you look at professional players, they're usually right around 2 times shoulder width apart. So depending on your build and, you know, how physically large you are, how tall you are is probably more accurate. The taller you are, generally speaking, the wider you're going to have to get in order to get to 2 times shoulder width apart. So I strongly recommend getting in front of a mirror and see how wide that actually is. And that's checkpoint number two, is width. Checkpoint number three is our heels need to stay off the court. If you go into your ready position and your feet stay flat, then I used the word spring before. We're not going to have the same amount of spring to be able to push off in one direction or the other. If you come down from your split step, or you're just going into a ready position and your heels are both on the courts, or even if one of them is on the court, you're only ready to spring in one direction. If both heels are off the court, now you could equally spring in either direction and seamlessly use your stored energy because of your knee bend, because of your width, and because your feet are not flat on the court, now you have the ability to very seamlessly and athletically and fluidly direct your momentum and your energy in any given direction. And the fourth checkpoint, which really goes hand in hand with the heels off the court, it's not exactly the same thing, but it's very close, is we want to have our balance slightly forwards. And the reason for that is we want to have like a little bit of tipped energy that's kind of stored and we're holding it. And ideally, we time this just before we know where the ball is going so that we already kind of have some kinetic energy flowing that we can harness and smoothly direct and propel to the right or to the left or forwards or backwards, by the way. If you need to move backwards, then the first move you're going to do is to put one foot or the other in front of yourself to be able to push off of and pivot backwards. So regardless of what direction the ball goes, we need a little bit, like just a slight forward posture and kind of feel like your chest is tipping over the front of your toes just a little bit, not a ton. We don't want to feel like we're like literally falling over. Like you should be able to hold this position, but it should be able to, it should take a little bit of effort or energy to hold yourself up and not fall forwards when your heels are off the court and your posture is tipped forwards just a little bit. Okay, so now that you know the four checkpoints, and that is 2 times shoulder width apart, significant amount of bend in the knees, heels off the court, and our balance slightly forwards, let's talk about what most tennis players do. And the reality is, to be totally honest, this is just fresh in my head. This is why I'm talking about it today. I just got back a couple days ago. And something in particular about this really blew my mind on this specific trip. But thing number one that you need to be aware of is if you're below a 5-0 level, and 97% of these listeners, like if you're listening right now, there's like a 97% chance that you are below a 5.0 level. I promise you, there's at least one, but probably 2 or 3 of those 4 elements that you can optimize. You might be wider than shoulder width apart, but it's highly unlikely that you're 2 times shoulder width apart. Just based on my experience and just seeing thousands and thousands of tennis players, they rarely get to that position. Plus, I'm going to give you like a kind of little bonus insight at the end here in just a second. And most tennis players don't have much bend in the knee. In my 3035 clinics that I just did, it was normal. And I mean, the vast majority of the students that I just worked with, who, by the way, are super passionate and have taken all the lessons and they've watched all the YouTube videos. And the only people who show up to work with me are hardcore. Like they're a little weird. Like they've already been around the block a whole lot of times on average, like 95% of them. And yet even those super hardcore passionate students at a 3035 level, most of them are 1 time shoulder width apart. Very little, if any, bend in the knees. Either neither heel off the court, or maybe one, but almost never at 3035, almost never both off the court. And posture is pretty straight up and down. And so if you imagine a human standing there, shoulder width apart, no bend in the knees, heels flat on the court, posture just straight up and down. What are we visualizing? We're just visualizing a person just standing there. And I'm telling you, if you're listening to me right now, most tennis players at the moment that the ball gets hit on the other side are just standing there. And the illustration or like the visual I was kind of jokingly using during this trip, which I think I'm going to continue to use, is, and we're all kind of laughing together. And like I showed examples of myself and not using a split step and just standing there. And what it looks like is somebody in the cereal aisle at the grocery store just trying to decide which box to take off the shelf. And they're literally just standing there casually, passively checking something out in front of them with no athletic preparation or spring or energy or like kinetic flow at all. Just standing there. And I'm telling you, that's what most tennis players are doing. Now, if you're a 4045 player, I did a 4045 group as well. And if you don't think that you need to work on this, then please go to the YouTube channel for Essential Tennis and look at the lesson called Your Ready Position Sucks. And you'll see a bunch of examples from my 4045 strategy clinic that I just did where players are just standing there. 404, and I mean, they're actually 4045 players. Like, that's the level they're competing at. And just like the 3035 students, they're actually super passionate and they've taken lots of lessons and they've watched all the videos. And a significant chunk of them, it's not as many as the 3035 students, but I would say half of them are doing some variation of cereal shopping and they're just standing there. So now you know what to look for and what to feel for. And by the way, I highly recommend you actually just record yourself practicing this or practice this in front of a mirror, because here's why. Here's the part that really shocked me and kind of blew me away. So I recorded everybody first to show them their kind of normal habit before they knew we were going to work on it. And I showed them what they're usually doing, which is cereal shopping. Then we went out on the court and we practiced hitting all four checkboxes. Double shoulder width apart, significant bend in the knees, heels off the court, balance slightly forwards. And I recorded everybody while we were practicing this. Everybody kind of lined up and I was like, okay, let's practice our new and improved ready position. And as we practiced, I walked around and I kind of gave feedback to different students. And the most consistent feedback I gave was, you got to go wider. Like, you're not two times shoulder width apart. But here's the thing. Everybody thinks they're wide enough, especially when they're practicing it and they just saw the whole like spiel and they saw themselves on the video and they're like, oh crap. Yeah, I definitely look super casual. Like, I don't look like an athlete at all. So then we go out and practice and they're going what they think is wide. But then I walk past and I go, no, you got to go wider than that. And after doing that and being like, okay, good job, everybody. Let's grab a quick drink and I'll show you how you're looking now. And I showed them the recording of them practicing. As we're heading back to the TV to watch the replay, I heard over and over and over again during these 6 days of strategy coaching, that was way too wide. Like, there's no way. That must have been exaggerated, right? Ian, you're like, you're just having me go super wide so that, you know, I kind of stretch myself, but I don't need to go that wide in real life, right? Like, there's no way that was correct. That was too wide, right? And then we sit down and I play the video of the ready position that they were just in, right before they made the comment, okay, but that's too wide, right? And student after student after student, I asked them the question, does that look too wide to you? And student after student after student says, well, I'll be darned. No, that looks just about right. In fact, I'll just tell you, nobody went too wide. Nobody went too wide. But player after player after player was like, okay, but that's too wide, right? And then when I showed them the replay, they're like, oh, wow, I just look like a good tennis player. Not only is that not too wide, but that just looks right. Like, that's just the way a good tennis player looks. And what does that mean about what that player normally does? It means that that player who would make that kind of comment normally doesn't look like a good tennis player. They normally look super passive. They normally look super unathletic. They're normally just kind of standing there. And so going wider than just standing there feels really wide. And going two times shoulder width feels like mega wide. Like, there's no way this is correct. But player after player after player sat down, watched themselves go two times shoulder width apart, and was blown away by the fact that, holy crap, like, what feels like way too wide to me is actually, it just looks good and it just looks right. And again, if you go check out the video, you'll see like the actual real examples of that. And I just want to say to my students, like, I really respect and admire all of you tremendously for coming out for the coaching with me and watching yourselves, seeing yourselves, like, look at what your current habits are. And if you're listening to me right now and you have not done that yet, if you have not recorded yourself and you have not checked And you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, that's those players. But my ready position's good. Like, I'm not just standing there. I'm not shopping for cereal. I'm definitely moving athletically. And I definitely look like a good tennis player when I play tennis. I'm telling you, you got to check yourself, and a vast majority of you listening right now are going to be like, holy cow, I can't believe that I was so narrow and I was so upright and I looked so casual. So please do yourself a favor and check in on yourself and check for all the four check boxes that we talked about today. And this is like, I start all of my strategy clinics with this topic because it's easy to argue that this is the most important thing. If we talk about everything else, about shading and moving and court coverage and positioning and poaching and serving and volleying, like if we do all these other things from a casual, unathletic, ready position, like what's the point? What's the point of practicing all those things if we can't even get the most basic physical preparation right? And we can't just be an athlete out there each time the ball gets hit on the other side. That's how important this is. That's why you need to check yourself. If this has been helpful today, I haven't asked this for a while. Can you do me a favor and just share the link for this episode? Share the link for the Essential Tennis Podcast with one of your teammates, your friends, somebody who you practice with, maybe even your coach. Or if you're a coach, can you please share the Essential Tennis Podcast with people who you feel like they really have a passion for improving at tennis and they would actually get something out of it? That would really mean a lot to me. Thank you so much for your passion, for your dedication. If you're listening to me right now, you're one of the special players out there who really cares about it deeply. So I really appreciate your support tremendously. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you next time on the next episode of the Essential Tennis Podcast. For more free, game-improving instruction, be sure to check out EssentialTennis.com, where you'll find hundreds of video, audio, and written lessons. Also, be sure to subscribe to Essential Tennis on iTunes and YouTube, where we are the number one resource in the world, providing passionate instruction for passionate tennis players. Thank you so much for listening today. Take care, and good luck with your tennis.